And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
We didn't stop the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't stop.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to today's show. Today, our stories will take you to the Okanagan Valley. We'll also have a wine 101 chat on Lambrusco, and we're going to talk to one of Italy's iconic Valpolicella producers. We'll also talk turkey with West Kelowna's Dan Karkner. He's the executive chef for the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market at Mount Boucherie. They're located in West Kelowna. And as we prepare for all our shows coming up this spring in the South Okanagan, we're going to speak to David McBean, the general manager, about all the amenities and all the ways you can enjoy the Watermark Beach Resort Hotel, which is our home away from home in the South Okanagan. But up next, Hermé Scardova. He's the export manager for Medici Armente. I call him the Renaissance man. He joins us to talk about Lambrusco, one of the hottest selling wine categories in the world. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature control delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Penticton, a perfect place to connect with nature. Plan your May-long trip and attend the various events at the Meadowlark Nature Festival, May 16th through 20th, at numerous locations throughout the South Okanagan. The Meadowlark Nature Festival connects people with nature, engaging and inspiring them to protect the unique habitats and species of this region and our planet. Go to visitpenticton.com/events for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
Your next corporate event or retreat deserves the best. The Watermark Beach Resort. With conference spaces to host large or small gatherings, they can create your perfect event or gathering. Enjoy the culinary excellence of 15 Park Bistro, open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook at 15 Park Bistro for the latest updates on their brand new dinner series. To make a reservation or learn more about events at Watermark, just go to watermarkbeachresort.com.
This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Simply irresistible. Simply irresistible.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome back. Our guest today is Hermé's, I got to get this right now, Scardova.
Correct.
Great to have you back. He's the export manager Medici Armente Wines from Emilia-Romagna.
Yeah.
I call you the Renaissance man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I had a chance to travel with you in Italy, and you were just so brilliant, from balsamic vinegar to Reggiano, and, of course, to the wines. But we're going to talk about the wines. Let's talk about the place, Emilia-Romagna.
Okay.
This place is undervalued, I think, by people outside of Italy.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a bit about the region and why it's so interesting.
Now, as you say, Anthony, thank you for having me here. And thank you to ask me about to talk about my region. I'm so proud to come from this area. This not very well known outside of Italy.
Yeah.
As is something incredible, because some of the top product that came from this area are people consider they are Italian, but are from Emilia-Romagna, not from Italy.
Yeah.
We can talk about the Motor Valley, that is the area between Reggio Emilia and Modena, that's where come from the most famous sports car, like Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, Bugatti.
Yeah.
Or on the other side, we talk about the food valley. Italia is very famous all around the world for its food, its cuisine.
Yeah.
And but from Emilia Romagna and exactly the area from Parma to Bologna, you can have it in this area, the best cheese in the world. It is the Parmigiano Reggiano, in my opinion.
Yeah, and yeah, I know it is.
Yeah.
You can say that.
On the other side, the traditional balsamic vinegar or the charcuterie like Parma ham, culatello, mortadella, or the fresh pasta, tortelli, tortellini, lasagne, cappelletti alla bolognese, tagliatelle alla bolognese. All this stuff come from Emilia Romagna, not from Italy.
No.
And all people consider the product Italians.
Yeah.
Yes, are Italian, but from a small region called Emilia Romagna.
Yeah.
And Emilia Romagna is in the north part of Italy. Is we say that it is in the middle of a magic triangle, talking about wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, there is from one side Piedmont, Veneto, and Tuscany.
Yeah.
We are in the middle.
We are
the heart of this magic wine triangle.
Yeah.
And you have to move, if you have to move from north to south or from east to west, you have to pass by in that area. In the past, nobody stopped.
No.
Nowadays, more and more people stop and enjoy our region.
I think somebody stopped to steal the Sangiovese and take it away somewhere else.
Exactly, exactly.
Because Sangiovese was originated in your region, not in Tuscany.
Yes, Mongiovese is an area in Rimini, close to Rimini.
Yeah.
There is a mount called Mongiovese, the blood of Jupiter.
Yeah,
the Sangiovese grape.
Yeah.
So the
reason. Okay, that was a great background. We're going to talk about a grape that's largely unknown anyways today, but you have made it famous.
No, not me, but the company.
Well, your company, that nobody else put it on the map as you have recently.
Yeah, in 2014, we were lucky to meet a great ladies, one lady, Barbara Phillips, that chose our wine to be present in the liquor board store.
Yeah.
And starting from that, thanks to the work of our agency, Style Brand, in Land, and thanks to the quality of our product, we develop a lot. And nowadays, there is a trend in the market about Lambrusco.
Yeah.
Because we were the pioneer on that, and nowadays, there are many others.
It's a big trend.
Yes, and I can say you that is crazy for me to see the wine list of some restaurant here that have more Lambrusco in their wine list than a lot in Reggio or in Modena.
Yeah.
So in my hometown, where it comes from, the Lambrusco. That's amazing. For a million guys, is amazing to see that.
Oh, well, they'll catch up. They'll catch up.
Okay, a lot of people say that Lambrusco is underrated. And it's true. Because Lambrusco is a fantastic wine to match with food to enjoy your life, honestly. It's easy drinking, is something fresh, is something unique, because it's one of the few wines that you can start and finish a meal with the same grape. It's only one, and you can have it in three different type of fermentation, Charmat method, classic method, and ancestral method. So not many wine have this characteristic.
No.
And you can have it sweet or dry, you can have it rosé and red.
Yep.
So single vineyards or blended one. So it's an amazing world, Lambrusco.
And how many do you make, how many styles do you make now at the winery of the Lambrusco?
We have more or less, we have the three different fermentation for sure.
Yeah.
Charmat, Metodo Classico, and Ancestral. And we have around 12 labels, 12-15 labels.
Pretty
because
good.
Because we have also some IGT product, that is the entry level one. We have the DOC from Reggio Emilia and from Modena, because our company own estate in Reggio Emilia and Modena to have the original product.
Yeah.
And we have some single vineyards. Like the one that we are tasting, that is the Concerto, available since 2014 in your Monopoly, in your liquor store, and is the flagship wine of the winery.
Yeah. And organic as well.
Yes, it became organic in 2020. Yeah. Harvest 2020 became organic.
Yeah.
We were just organic since 2008.
Yeah.
But we never apply for the certification.
Yeah.
For many years, some of our customers require the certification, the paper.
Why not?
And we apply that. So it was very easy to achieve that. We have only to wait the time of the certification.
So the Concerto, by the way, is available in British Columbia. You can buy it in many different stores for $21.99. It's a crazy value. It's the first single vineyard Lambrusco ever produced. Okay, you're the food man too. So, how versatile is it? What can we serve it with? What are great matches?
Lambrusco is the most, in my opinion, most gastronomic wine or food friendly wine in the exhibition today.
Yeah.
But I think in the world, honestly, together with champagne. I always compare with champagne.
Uh-huh. That,
because you can have it with many, many different food. If I have to talk Italian food.
Yep.
Easily, charcuterie, cheese, pasta, pizza.
Yeah.
Outside of that,
let's talk Emilia-Romagna now.
Yeah.
Instead of pizza and pasta, what food?
Cotechino. you know, the boiled salami is perfect to match.
Okay,
with,
there we go.
We have a place in Modena called Osteria Giusti that is still having in their menu a medieval recipe. It's called cotechino fritto, deep-fried cotechino fritto with zabaion, salty zabaion.
Wow.
Made instead of the marsala with the Lambrusco.
Oh, my God.
That's something unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you need some Lambrusco to clean your mouth and also your stomach for the digestion.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's something unbelievable.
Wow.
Or outside of that, think about out of the box of the Italian restaurant, Indian food, Thai food, Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Everything that is spicy.
That sounds good, yeah.
Everything that's spicy or sweet and sour is perfect to match with the Lambrusco.
And turkey would be good here, eh? Like at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Is one of the best. Or Peking duck.
Yeah.
Or think about the Japanese tempura.
Yeah.
It's perfect to match with the Lambrusco.
Yeah, it works with the deep fried too, eh?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay, I don't want to run out of time. We have another wine, too. We should talk about the Quercioli Lambrusco as well, which is in the marketplace. Different shape bottle, different wine. What is this all about?
No, it's a different wine, it's a different range, because the grape come from another estate owned by Medici Ermete family.
Okay.
But in this case, it's not a single vineyard. We have two estates, and we blend the grape from these two estates.
Mm-hmm.
And is our Quercioli line, is a DOC product. In this line, we have sweet and dry Lambrusco.
Yeah.
And today, we present here the Grasparossa sweet, Amabile. That means sweet.
Sure.
Is our interpretation of sweet Lambrusco. We use Grasparossa grape because it's the one in the Lambrusco family with the lower level of acidity, but is the most tannic and the one that have the big structure in the Lambrusco.
Right.
So it's perfect to do a sweet wine with a big body structure.
Yeah.
And very good to balance the acidity and the sweetness of the wine. So in that way, you have a wine perfect with the dessert.
Yeah.
Could be ice cream, mixed fruit salad, or a crostata with some strawberry or blueberry jam on top.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's good with like a pepperoni pizza, with a caprese, with some salad, or could be a chicken wing with some salty cream.
Yeah. Wow.
That's very versatile.
Yeah, or something with barbecue sauce or something like that,
absolutely,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think you're crushing it in Emilia-Romagna. It's important, too, for these wines to go with the cuisine of the place where you're selling it, too, because that's where the connection is made with the consumer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, it's something linked to his territory, like, say, Veronelli, the father of the Italian wine journalist. He always say that the best match is the food, the local food with the local wine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for the Lambrusco, is very versatile and very unique.
Yeah.
It works very well also with other cuisine, foreign cuisine.
Yeah. It's an amazing phenomenon because when I was a kid, Lambrusco was a wine that nobody drank. And then everybody was drinking, as you say, Barb Phillips and getting it listed here was a great boost for it. And that's kind of nice that British Columbia had a piece of that.
I think that British Columbia was the first one in North America to relaunch the Lambrusco. We say that my boss say always that there is a renaissance of the Lambrusco, and we are part of that.
Yeah.
Starting in the after the 2005-2006, journalists restart to talk about the wine, to reconsider the Lambrusco as a wine.
Yeah.
There was an article in 2006 about Concerto on by Robert Parkett. He wrote, "I never considered Lambrusco as a wine before tasting Lambrusco."
Yeah.
I think that it was something good and something wrong in this sentence. Because it was good for Medici Hermeti as a producer of wine, but for the Lambrusco category, I think that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
At the same time, starting from that, journalists restart to consider Lambrusco as a wine, and nowadays young generation that they never taste the sweet wine from the 80s, 70s, 80s, the Italian cola in the US. They never taste that, and they want to try something real, the autochthon grape variety. It's very trendy because it's autochthon grape variety, is a bubbling wine, bubble art trendy, is a sort of natural wine. Plus, on top of that, it's very fruit friendly, very fruity, easy drinking. So Hermes, it's everything.
Hermes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So great to see you again. The last time I saw you was a couple of days before the pandemic started in Vancouver, and you had come from Wuhan. I never forget that.
Yeah, exactly. I was there.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you very much.
That was Hermes Cardova, export manager, Medici Hermeti. Still ahead, Dan Karkner, the executive chef of the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market in West Kelowna, joins us to talk turkey.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, Cowichan truly comprises some amazing small towns and communities.
Yeah, that's right, Anthony. Cowichan features a really unique collection of communities, each unique and known for their talented artists and rich cultural heritage. For example, Duncan is known as the City of Totems, so visitors can go on a self-guided walking tour to see over 40 totem poles, which are handcrafted by Indigenous carvers, while learning about the cultural significance and stories of each totem.
And you really want transportation to get around for some of these scenic drives.
Yeah, just a short drive from Duncan is the historic fishing village of Cowichan Bay, which features a renowned selection of restaurants and artisan shops. And you can also visit the Cowichan Bay Maritime Center to learn about maritime history and witness the art of wooden boat building.
And Kenzie, what are some of the important festivals to note that are coming up on the horizon?
There's a few. So just minutes outside of Lake Cowichan is Laketown Ranch, which hosts Sunfest, one of Canada's largest country music festivals. And then there's also the family-friendly Cowichan Valley Bluegrass Festival, which happens every Father's Day weekend in June. And then in downtown Duncan, you can take in free live music every day while the 39 Days of July Festival is running.
And we shouldn't forget about the arts. Cowichan's a hotbed for that.
Absolutely. Chemainus is a vibrant arts community in Cowichan that is world famous for its large collection of outdoor murals, which depict the town's history. And just down the road from Chemainus is Ladysmith, a heritage town. Strolling along First Avenue and trying Old Town Bakery's famous cinnamon buns is the perfect way to spend an afternoon.
Kenzie, thanks so much for a postcard view of things to do in Cowichan.
You're most welcome.
Plan your trip at tourismcowichan.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Oh, Monday afternoon.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. And joining us now from the Okanagan Valley is Dan Karkner. He's the executive chef at the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market in West Kelowna. He's here to help us talk about BC Turkey today. The BC Turkey industry, if you didn't know, it's not new. They formed a formal group back in 1951. It represents farmers, processors, service providers, and suppliers. So a lot of people are involved in this business across British Columbia, and you can check all that out at visitbcturkey.ca, where all of these local businesses are listed. Now, some turkeys are sold in stores, but some are sold just at farmers' markets or exclusively to restaurants. Dan, what's your experience with turkey?
Hi, Anthony. I think, like most people, I think it's kind of a seasonal thing, but I think there's no reason why that shouldn't change across the country.
Yeah.
I think Thanksgiving and Christmas is probably the most common time to enjoy it, but there's nothing wrong with a good turkey club either.
Yeah, I mean, turkey every day works for a lot of people, not just on the holidays. What's your, I guess when you're looking for a turkey, is there anything as a chef that you're looking for when you're shopping or you have your eye out for? They all look the same to me, but are they all the same?
Absolutely. I think with many animal proteins, it comes down to sort of how the animals are raised and the treatment of the animals.
So, right.
Certainly at the restaurant, we look for things in an ethically raised program. If you feed the animals something that's good to eat, then it stands to reason that that's going to be better for you in the end. So
yeah,
those things are important to me for sure.
Well, obviously on the holidays, a lot of people were talking about whole turkeys, and we'll get to that. But for people that are looking for turkeys, throughout all the rest of the months of the year, what kind of cuts or how would you recommend that they buy turkey or use turkey outside of buying a whole turkey?
I think it's really, really versatile, and there's all kinds of cuts that you can find. Some of my favorites, I'm a dark meat fan, so some of my favorites are the thighs and drumsticks, and it's a part of the turkey that you almost can't overcook. Cook it until it's falling off the bone tender, and I think that's a really great flavor, and it's versatile. I mean, you can use it a million different ways.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember if it was the 90s or 2000s, turkey burgers made a big surge. And again, those are super delicious, far more lean than ground beef, let's say. Just a versatile canvas. You can really dress it up with anything you like.
Yeah. Now, for a guy like me, when you say you can cook it forever, what really, how can you just prepare a drumstick? What's a simple way to do that?
So I kind of like the top rack on my barbecue. If you've got the time to spend and, glaze on some nice sauce and just let it keep on going and, fork in hand and maybe a set of tongs in the other, just give it a little tug with the meat. And if it's pulling apart easily, then, you're in tender territory.
Yeah.
Slow cooker is a great idea too. You know, put it in on your way out the door in the morning, and when you get home, dinner is ready for you. So, like I said, you don't have to worry so much like a turkey breast, for example, about overcooking it.
Yeah. Our guest is Dan Karkner. He's the executive chef at the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market at Mount Boucherie Winery in West Kelowna, and we're talking about turkey. Let's talk about the big bird. Do you have any tips for us when we're preparing that big bird? I know some people brine it. Some people do other things to it. What's your take on that?
Oh, the pressure. it's always the showstopper at holiday meals and things like that. So I know it stresses people out quite a bit. Really just don't overthink it. I think a brine is a great idea, but if you don't have the means to do that, you almost need a second fridge to fit your turkey in a liquid in there. It's a great idea, and it does add flavor and seasoning right down throughout, the entire bird, but if you don't have time for that, that's okay. One of the things I would recommend, and it takes away maybe some of the showmanship, is take the legs off the bird and cook them separate. There's a different sort of minimum internal temperature. If you're cooking a whole turkey, they recommend 180 Fahrenheit But really, the breast is finished at 165 Fahrenheit. So that's quite a bit of overcooking with the breast if you leave it all together.
Wow.
But it takes a little of the presentation away if you don't put the whole turkey on the table and carve from there.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think you get a far better result and, just figure out a different presentation, I suppose. But if you can cook the legs and the breast separately, take the breast out and let them rest when they're finished. It's a much more juicy endeavor, I think.
Yeah. Our guest, by the way, is Dan Karkner. He's executive chef at the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market at Mount Boucherie Winery. How about gravy? Is there a secret for that?
I don't know. I think each household, especially traditionally, would guard that secret pretty close to their heart. If you can find summer savory, I think that's a big difference. It's a herb that maybe you can find at a farmer's market that some producers grow.
Uh-huh.
And it's tricky to find in the spice rack, but it's got a distinctive flavor that just screams Thanksgiving and Christmas and that sort of thing.
Wow, summer savory. I like the sound of that. So I'm going to ask when I'm at most of the markets are opening now around the province, so it might be good to do a hunt for that.
Absolutely. You can dry your own. If you find it now, you can dry your own and then just use it whenever you need to.
Yeah. Well, you're at a winery, Mount Boucherie. What about wine pairings for turkey? Anything that crosses your mind?
I think a big go-to is sort of Chardonnay. And here at Mount Boucherie, we do have a spectrum, I think, from crisp Chardonnay to heavily oak Chardonnay. But we also have a really great Semillon. Single varietal Semillon in the original vine series.
Yeah.
And I think it's got some nice citrus and a little bit of maybe beeswax and a strong lemon presence, along with some orchard fruit, apples and pears and things like that. So I think all of those things are really familiar with turkey, and it's an interesting wine to show up at a get-together with. Not everybody drinks Semillon every day by itself.
No. No, and in fact, I think people drink a lot of red wine with turkey and don't really, they miss out on the possibilities of white wine. So those are two great picks for people to look for. I want to talk a little bit, or I get your, I mean, everybody's talking about higher prices, higher costs, things are expensive. How do you rate turkey in the scheme of proteins and price?
Yeah, definitely. We saw a renaissance with chicken prices over the last few years. So it's kind of scary, but I think sometimes the less common things still are available at a cheaper price, especially if you're buying, bits and pieces. So, mm-hmm. turkey thighs, even turkey breast by itself. It's a good way to feed a crowd, I think. So economically, whether it's a whole bird or not, you can feed a large family pretty easily with one purchase. But sometimes hunting down those, just do your cross-border shopping and compare the prices in that meat department, chicken and turkey. And I think, the flavor is similar enough that if you have your heart set on chicken, but you want to save a few bucks, then turkey's going to
be satisfied. You can go with turkey.
As well.
Yeah, pretty good value. That sounds great. Before we go, I just wanted to catch up with you on the restaurant itself, Modest Butcher. What's happening, when you're open, and how things are going?
Absolutely. So the weather is a beautiful sunny day today, so we're looking forward to, wine tourism taking an upswing in the summer months. So coming down the pipeline here, we've got a new spring menu coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then close on its heels. Mother's Day, we're going to do a pretty fun experience in the wine shop downstairs, and then in the restaurant, we'll have a nice feature menu, maybe with turkey, we'll see. And then in June, our legendary Father's Day barbecue is going to happen again, getting bigger and better every year. So,
yeah, lots going on.
Social media for that.
Yeah, and the restaurant hours, when are you? I know you're there all the time, but when is the restaurant open?
So we're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. and the wine shop is 11 till 6 this year still.
Yeah.
Lots of opportunities to come and visit.
Yeah. Dan, so great to catch up with you and to talk turkey. And to our listeners, you can check out all of this information on turkey. Visit bcturkey.ca and CanadianTurkey.ca for more information. And, of course, drop by Mount Boucherie anytime for lunch or dinner. Or check them out online and order some of those white wines for your turkey at home. Thank you, Dan. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dan Karkner. He's the executive chef at the Modest Butcher Kitchen and Market in Kelowna. Still to come, Eduardo Montresor, family member of the Montresor Winery in northern Italy. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
It's time to think turkey and buy BC. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or a special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein. Next time you're planning dinner, think about picking up some ground turkey, a breast roast, or turkey thighs to switch things up for your family. Find recipes, cooking tips, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca. This ad is supported by British Columbia's Buy BC Partnership Program.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, Marketing Manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Penticton has over 80 wineries within just a 20-minute drive? Joining me is Colin Ross, General Manager of Tightrope Winery and President of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Colin, what makes Penticton and the Naramata Bench such a great wine destination?
The soil and the climate have made the Naramata Bench one of Canada's premier wine regions. With a distinct terroir and welcoming community of quality-minded, award-winning vineyards, it's home to over 40 wineries, featuring incredible views, great dining experiences, and various events throughout the year.
What is the best way to visit the wineries?
You can rent a bike and cycle the KVR Trail to visit them. Spring is the perfect time for it, with beautiful weather and fewer crowds than summer. And yes, our wineries have plenty of wine and are ready to welcome you.
Amazing. Thanks, Colin. Plan your Penticton vacation now. For information on all our wineries, tasting rooms, and events, go to visitpenticton.com.
Now, back to BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi. Bye, 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 aye, aye, wow!
Hello, British Columbia. Welcome back. Our guest is Eduardo Montresor. He's a fourth-generation winery family member. Eduardo, welcome back to Vancouver.
Thank you, Tony.
Great
Thank
to
you
see
so
you. We were talking, it's 8 or 9 years now you've been at the festival.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, you're a veteran.
A little bit. But it was a while that I was not in Vancouver because it was before COVID. Isn't it? It was 2019.
That's so true. Yeah.
Super happy to be here to feel the vibes of this amazing festival.
Yeah. It's a great night. The place is packed. Everybody's visiting booths, tasting wine. You brought a couple of wines, but let's start with Montresor. Maybe a little bit about the history of the property for people who don't know it.
Okay. It's a long story because it's probably if someone speak French can understand that Montresor is a French name.
Yeah.
But We produce Italian wine. Why? Yeah. It's not that tricky. It's because my family roots is for French from starting the 17th century. For political reason, we can say that my ancestral father Claude was the name of Claude Montresor escaped from Val de Loire.
Okay.
To Italy.
Wow.
It's the reason was I don't know if I can tell you because it's not a night advertising, but okay, I can tell you. Nobody listen to us. It's
okay,
like a secret.
We won't listen.
Yeah, it's probably you know the guy, the famous Cardinal Richelieu. Claude Montresor with the Duke d'Orléans, that was the cousin of the king, tried to kill this guy in Paris, but the attempt failed. Duke d'Orléans escaped under the protection of the cousin of the king, and Claude, no way, escaped. And arrived exactly in the north of Italy, in the region of Veneto, between the city of Verona and the Garda Lake. He bought some land and started planting grapes, making wine for pleasure, like in French tradition.
And speaking Italian.
A little
as
bit
fast
started,
as he could.
He started. He has to do the.
Yeah.
And In the 1892, after many years that my family was in Italy, it's my great-grandfather Giacomo decided to start a business.
Wow.
Put the first label on the first bottle and start to make money selling wine. So we consider the start of the business in 1892. It's a long time. Many yeah. things changed. Many things not changed because it's our philosophy to try to
Some things never change.
Oh my God, no. Yeah, you have in the hand the probably our iconic bottle, the Amarone Frosted.
They call it the Mula or
The Mula, yes. Yeah. it's a name that in Italian means nothing, but there is the secret story that explains why Mula, because for many years, you know, probably, I don't know if the people know, is a strange bottle, frosted, and was patented from my great-grandfather in 1906 with the name Mula.
Okay.
And nobody for many years knows why Mula, why this shape. And in the middle of 70, my family decided to transform off the family house in the offices. So we start to move the personal furniture of the family outside.
Yeah.
The two guys drop a table. And under the table was a secret box with the letters between my great-grandfather and the lady that was not the wife. This is a scandal. Still a scandal in the family.
Oh, my God. What a family.
Yeah, it's. I am super proud, you know.
Yeah.
It's, Italian is a conservative country, so...
Yeah, that's a lot of history.
To have a great-grandfather that was a little bit dirty with a mistress in the beginning of the century, I am a little bit proud.
Yeah.
Sorry for the lady that listens.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Well, it's great to have you here, and we're going to talk about a couple of wines, one with a very modern label.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll get to the Mula, but why don't we start with that?
This is something new for the Montresor because we are really traditional. So it's a strange wine with a strange packaging. We call that Wine Urban Park, and it's my fault. I want to tell
you
the story.
You love urban parks.
Yeah, because it was the 2001. I was doing breakfast like Italian style in the bar with espresso and cornetto croissant. And I was reading a newspaper, the Corriere della Sera, probably the most famous newspaper in Italy. And in the second page, I read an article about that the police in Milan arrested two young guys because they destroyed the city. Destroy the city means that they painted the beautiful murals in a gray wall.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was super angry because in Milan was the timing. It was that people shooting in the street, drug dealer. So I said, why they have to arrest something that... something beautiful.
Yeah.
So I back in the office, I talked with my marketing manager. I told her that please make some advertising in the art magazine in Europe that we will open the winery for the street artists for 1 year. So in all 2001, many, many artists arrived from UK, Germany, Swiss, Italy, in the Montresor winery to do something crazy.
Yeah.
Like people that arrive with a guitar, with a violin playing in the garden, and some people that make some piece of art in the winery. One of that, the name is Sebastiano, painted a huge muralis in the deep cellar, 35 meters under the ground, 30 meters for 15. Huge.
Wow.
He spent 4 months. And the year is finished. So we close the project that we call Wine Urban Park. And for many years, we forgot to have these beautiful murals. And in 2017, I was with a winemaker testing some wine. It was Amarone from the tank in the front of the murals.
Yeah.
And they said, the name of the winemaker was Michele. I said, Michele, why we don't do a wine taking inspiration from the murals? So we start the project. And we decided to use... What we do in the better way, the appassimento. So we use our autochthone varietal, so it's the same of Amarone, but we dry, not like Amarone 4 months, but just 60 days.
Yeah.
So at the end, we found the wine, and we was happy. But I couldn't think that it was one of the lady of my team said, Eduardo, okay, the wine is good, but we know the murals. The people around the world, they have the opportunity to see the murals. So we decide to report the murals on the label. So we are an IT company from Milan that's scanning with a laser the wall.
Yeah.
And we report the same sensation. If you touch the label, it's a 3D.
Oh,
and you have the same sensation like touching the concrete
there.
Tank. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God. That is so cool.
Yeah, crazy. My CFO is still complaining for the cost, but by the way, it's...
Well, you're the boss, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. I close the eyes, I go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Urban Park Rosso. It's a Rosso Veneto.
Yeah.
Then.
It's wow. I think that it's a really interesting wine because it's a mix between tradition, so the Appassimento style.
Yeah.
But with a new, it's... I want to tell you one thing, that when we released the first vintage, many of my manager was scared that they said, oh my God, this is not a wine from Italy, because it's really conservative.
Yeah.
But by the way, it's the most selling country is Italy. And
wow.
The crazy thing that, you know, this is a wine that is 14 alcohol, so you imagine to drink with a barbecue, with imported meat. It's a 50% of the selling is made in the summer.
Wow.
The people chill a little bit and use like aperitivo.
Yeah.
This is the magic of the Passimento.
Yeah, and maybe young people too, eh?
Young people. Young people is in love about the wine and about the concept of the wine part.
Yeah.
We are thinking about to do again, to open again the winery in the next
Great
year.
Idea.
But
I like it.
We will see what is happening.
Maybe they'll paint on the outside of the winery.
Yeah. But, you know, there is some piece of art. There is a German guy that painted a... I don't know if the correct word, but a murals, because it's 1.5 centimeter for 1.5 centimeter in a corner of the deep cellar.
Yeah.
That if you look with a magnifier, you see a square with hundreds of people during the Carnival of Venice.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Eduardo Montresor is our guest. We better talk about Amarone before we run out of time. We only have a couple minutes. So let's talk about this wine. Now we have the, I'm not sure what the vintage is on this.
It's 2019.
Yeah, 19, okay. Yeah. All right, Amarone, Amarone della Valpolicella, very easy for me to say. Tell us a bit about this wine then.
Amarone is an incredible wine because it's a wine made with a totally 100% dry grapes.
Mm-hmm.
For dry grapes, I intend that we have the harvest in September, middle of September, and then... We store it for 4 or 5 months in the granary.
Yeah.
And that means that when arrived January, February, the grapes lost 50% of the white. So it's like a raisin.
Yeah, very concentrated.
Totally. We press, but the crazy thing of the Amarone is that in the first 60 days, you're losing water, so concentration. But in the third month, the fruit is attacked from a noble muffle. Botrytis cinerea is the name.
Yeah.
And start change some molecular inside of the fruit that give this amazing flavor to the Amarone. So you drink a wine that is super full body, but at the same time with amazing acidity.
Yeah.
So it's, and this our Amarone Satinato, Amarone Frosted. Satinato in Italian means frosted. And is I'm in love with that, of course. It's my baby. It's the baby of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. It's because it's a gastronomic Amarone. Sometimes the people is scared about Amarone because they think that they have to open 1 hour and a half before, only in the best occasion.
Big decanter, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
It goes on and on, yeah.
The Amarone Satinato is the best friend for every night, every dinner. You just open and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it with the food.
Yeah, it's quite well balanced, eh?
Yeah.
You would think that at the alcohol level, what is the level now?
It's 15.
Yeah.
15?
But it doesn't feel like 15.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And what I love of the Amarone is this round sensation in the mouth that normally the people think that it's, oh my God, the residual sugar is so high.
Mm.
No.
No, it's not.
The Amarone is amazing because this Amarone is 3.6, 3.7 gram liter sugar, but the sensation came from the fruitance for the famous process of Passimento.
Yeah. And the Montresor Amarone della Valpolicella here in Vancouver is $54.99 in the store. You can buy this wine and drink it, as you say, or you can just leave it alone forever.
Yeah. Of course, of course.
For your grandchildren, if you want.
It's in the Christmas time, I was with my team in the winery. It was the 23rd, and we decided to do like an aperitivo before Christmas. And I stole, oh my God, I hope that this radio don't arrive in Italy, because if my father listen, kill me. I stole a bottle of Amarone Satinato 1961 from the private cellar of my father.
Nice.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable.
I bet.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, 61, that's such a great vintage in Europe.
Is your vintage?
No. Yeah. No, my vintage? God. Oh, I wish it was.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
No, we need some 53 Amarone.
53?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe I have it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll come and drink it.
But don't talk about age because, come on, in this day I feel me really bad because it's, you know, it's I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And but my brain is still like a 14-year-old guy.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I had a bad idea to, I was in Verona and I went to the Garda Lake. It was a sunny day. I decided to try for the first time the windsurf. Wrong decision.
Wrong decision.
Wrong decision.
Yeah. Eduardo, great to see you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure and the vibes is amazing. It's the best gift that you can give me.
That was Eduardo Montresor, family member of Montresor Winery. Up next, David McBean, general manager of Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos, our home away from home in the South Okanagan.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this spring. After a full day of activities, stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries, many that are now reopened after their winter hibernation. Enjoy this quieter time of year with an intimate spring wine tasting and a chance to sample some Okanagan vintages. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours and winery events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
Many people ask me which wines they should buy. My first question is, what do you like? Because when I know what they prefer, I can nudge them left or right to something similar, but often better at the same price. But if you don't like the wine, nothing I can say will change your mind. Taste is a personal thing, so ultimately, it's up to you to find a wine writer who aligns with your taste and start from there. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit my website, gismondionwine.com, to find out if we can agree on something to drink tonight.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now. Walk away.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome back to the show. Our guest is David McBean. He's the general manager of the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos, our home away from home when we're in the South Okanagan, and we're going to be up there shortly, broadcasting a number of shows from the hotel. David, how are you today?
I'm great, Anthony. How are you?
I'm really well. Really looking forward to getting back up to the Okanagan in the next couple of weeks. I'm told the weather is pretty nice.
The weather has been warm. We've had people out on the patios. Everyone's getting some sun. A few sunburns. It's been going good.
A few sunburns, I like that. Well, today I thought we'd talk a bit about the visitor experience at the Watermark. We often talk about all the things you can do outside of the hotel, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the room, about the hotel, about the rooms, the type of rooms you have, the sizes, the views, that sort of thing. Let's start with that, because I know that you've been doing renovations now for the last few years. I assume they're pretty much all finished.
So we are a condo hotel, which is a little different than what you would typically see in the city.
Yeah.
Every unit at Watermark is an apartment. So full kitchen, bedrooms, bathrooms, every room has a patio, balcony, but really everything you need to make a full turkey dinner in there if you need it. It's ready to be lived in. And where that's different than just your standard hotel room is, you know, when you're up here in the Okanagan and you're visiting those wineries or you're checking out those fruit stands with all that fantastic, you know, Okanagan produce, you can, you know, bring it
back
up
to the hotel,
the unit,
yeah.
and you can, you know, prepare your own meals on some days and go to dinner some other days, which, you know, from a financial perspective is great for people because, you know, eating breakfast, lunch, dinner out, you know, every day for four or five days can get to quite a bit. So,
especially if you've got kids and you know, it's great to be able to give them breakfast, right, and you can sit They can have breakfast. You can sit on the balcony and just watch the sun come up from the east there. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. And not everyone wants to wake up early and get the kids ready to get them out and get them out to a breakfast somewhere. So if they can have them in the room and do it there, there's a, you know, that's what one of the things that makes Watermark so family friendly is that it's the fact that they're condo rooms and they're able to do that.
Yeah, and you've got a walk-to grocery store like about 100 meters from the hotel.
Yep, we have Nestor's right. It's right here. There's a couple grocery stores in town, but Nestor's is extremely, extremely close.
Yeah. Another thing that goes on, and this, of course this is happening all over Canada, well, around the world, is this whole business of bringing the family pet with you. How does that work at the Watermark?
So we are a pet-friendly hotel. We do allow dogs to stay here, which is, you know, typically the four-legged family member.
Mm-hmm.
And we have of 153 units, I would say about 120 of them are pet friendly, where the owner of that unit has said, you know, you could bring, you know, the pet with you. So we do allow the pets, and there is a you know, a bit of an extra fee for cleaning up after them, but we allow it. And again, you know, versus, you know, finding a kennel or anything like that, it's great for the families to be able to do that. And not every property in the Osoyoos area allows pets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that gives you four legs up, I guess, on some of the competition. But it is a nice perk for those people who can't leave the dog at home. Let's talk a little bit about some of the amenities, because if you're again, I like get back to that balcony that I like to sit on, and now later in the afternoon, you got a great setup with the beach and the pool. How does that work for your guests?
Yeah, so the resort is it's a giant U shape, and that inside of the U faces the lake with the pool kind of tucked inside the U shape, along with the two hot tubs, the patio of 15 Park Bistro. So when you're on your patio and you're looking out, you're seeing the lake and you're seeing the trees and you're seeing the sand and the beaches and Anarchist Mountain on the far end of the lake. But if you were to kind of look at your head and kind of look more downwards, you would see our pool areas, and you'd see our two hot tubs, which are just going through some refinishing right now, and they'll be open for this weekend, all ready and shiny to welcome our guests.
Yeah, it's well, it's a great setup. I can't say enough about being there, and of course, you know, you're surrounded by all the wineries as well. So I would talk a little bit about that. How easy is it to get to wineries from the hotel without driving, I guess?
So, within Osoyoos directly, you have Bordertown, you have Adega, Inkmeep Cellars, Lakeside mm-hmm. Cellars, and a couple of other ones right inside Osoyoos. So you can definitely walk to them. I would probably say the closest one of any of those is about 20 minutes, 25
yep.
minutes. And once you're there, you're surrounded by a bunch of wineries. There's also some e-scooter rentals in town, which that kind of started last summer, and that became quite popular, where people are just hopping on an e-scooter, and it's a company called Sparrow Scooters, and they have what they call nests. I think it has to do with sparrows, and people have been using that to get
sure.
from place as well.
Yeah, and you can get shuttles too, can you not, from the hotel or the? I mean, there's people in the area that will pick you up.
Oh, for sure, lots of wine tour companies, and different companies. So you got some that are big buses where you're with other people. You have buses where it's just you and it's private. There's some people with a motorcycle with a sidecar. There's electronic bicycle bike tours. There's if there is a way to get to that winery and there's a method of transportation to do it, there's someone doing it. Not right directly in Osoyoos, but I also know in Similkameen on the weekend I saw some horseback riding from winery to winery.
Wow.
A tour that I saw there on Saturday, that was happening as well. So if it can carry a person to a winery,
yeah.
someone's probably doing it.
They can
There's
do
also
it.
Helicopter tours.
Yeah. Okay, our guest is David McBean. He's the general manager of the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. David, let's talk a little bit about upcoming events at the hotel, sort of major events. I know Mother's Day is on the calendar. What's happening?
So we're going to do a Mother's Day brunch. It's been a really long time since we've seen brunches in public in the Osoyoos area. None of us can recall the last time we've seen one, definitely before COVID. And so we're going to bring that back, an opportunity to take mom out, make sure she's well fed and well taken care of for often what they do for the rest of the family, and just do a really nice meal. It's going to be a brunch in the ballroom, which is just newly done, and it's got the big windows in there, so lots of daylight, and nice little bar going with it. We have what we're calling the mimosas. a little play on words there.
Yeah.
And we're putting that out today.
Okay, so Mother's Day, of course, is on May 12th. You need to go to watermarkbeachresort.com for more information about that and for getting yourself a reservation. Let's talk a bit about Park 15, just some housekeeping. When is it open now? What are you doing every day at Park 15?
So breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. We're opening as early as 8 in the morning. And we're doing right now a brunch until about 3 o'clock, and then we move to dinner. But we are just chipping away at our brand new menu, which will come out first week of May, and a lot more shareables in there. We want the restaurant to become more of a social place. So we have a few fun little dishes that are going to be coming out over the next couple of weeks. You'll see them as features if you get a chance to stop by, as our culinary team is training, practicing, and perfecting those last little dishes. And we're really excited for that. And that will come out the same time as our brand new wine list, which we are just putting the last little dots on the I's and crossing the T's on.
Nice, nice. I got so excited there. I was calling it Park 15. Of course, it's 15 Park. And you mentioned the patio. It's been expanded a bit and all renewed and revamped. It's such a great place to sit out. Again, you're just, you know, you're meters from the water. You're out of the sun if you want to be. You can be in the sun if you want to be. It's such a great setup. So for anybody who's down in the South Okanagan, really the Watermark Beach Resort, where we stay is a great place to set up for your visit, whether it's a couple of days or a couple of weeks. It's all good. David, great to catch up with you. Wish you well with the season. I know that the tourists are starting to swell across the valley. People should get organized, I would imagine. If they want a specific date, they've got to get organized now.
Absolutely. Definitely book sooner than later. What we're seeing is not just July and August being very busy, but we're seeing a lot more people coming in April, May, and June. The weather is a bit milder, but still all the wineries are open, and not everyone's on holidays yet, so a lot of people are taking advantage of those shoulder seasons to beat the rush, so to speak.
David, great to catch up with you. I hope you have a great season. We could all use a great sort of normal season in British Columbia this year, and we're looking forward to that and hoping for it.
So are we.
David McDean, General Manager of the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, our assignment editor, Sherry Caleb, and our Director of Operations, the Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.